Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
Oh, it's back. We were giving you the thumbs down when you weren't looking, and then now is the thumbs up.
I heard him talking to Seth as we were coming out of break.
Yeah, he's there.
And I mentioned Seth Wickersham, ESPN writer, author of It's Better to Be Feared, which is the highly anticipated account of the New England Patriots dynasty during the Belichick-Brady era. He joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. What's up, Seth?
How are you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Doing well. Great.
Good.
So in the book, you tackle a lot of things and a lot of things we have heard about. But now Bill Belichick is disputing it, like the phone call situation versus meeting in person. Can you fill us in?
What did he say?
Bill Belichick is,
I don't know. That's
hasn't Bill Belichick disputed the Tom Brady?
The friction? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, so that was like from 2 weeks ago. So,
right.
Honestly, that, first of all, I stand by the reporting in it. That was a conversation that Brady had with one of his best friends that night.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, the anecdote really wasn't anything that was a reflection of Brady. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, it wasn't a reflection of Belichick. It was more a reflection of how Brady interpreted the conversation and the fact that, look, he was at Robert Kraft's house. He drove over to Robert Kraft's house last March and to tell him that he was leaving the Patriots. And Kraft thought he was actually coming over to negotiate a new contract with the Patriots. But he told them that they were going their separate ways. And then afterward, he ended up calling Belichick from Kraft's house. He wanted to visit him in person. And the conversation itself was great. You know, Belichick called him the greatest player the league had ever seen and the greatest quarterback ever. But Brady later remarked that he thought it was indicative, he thought it was telling of where their relationship was, that, you know, it ended up being a phone call and not in person. And when Brady was asked about it, he actually didn't dispute it. He pulled kind of a savvy veteran move where he didn't deny it, but he didn't give anything away either.
Right.
Does Kraft have more affinity for Belichick or Brady? Or is it like right down the middle?
If you
had to guess.
Yeah, I'd guess that it's Brady because I think that there's just been less, you know, contention and, you know, Tom's, you know, probably a little bit easier to get along with than Belichick at times. You know, I have that anecdote where Kraft, who by and large was masterful in managing these relationships, you know, was running out of a little bit of patience with Belichick, and he called him the biggest effing a-hole in his life.
Right.
But, you know, to Kraft for a second, I mean, I don't know what makes a Hall of Fame owner. Clearly the owner in Washington of the Washington football team is not going to be one of them. But, you know, Kraft pulled off what's probably the greatest trade in NFL history when he traded for Belichick. And, you know, he kept the band together as long as he did. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't without managerial hurdles and headaches at times. But by and large, he did an amazing job at keeping these two very different personalities aligned for so long.
Yeah. Seth, do you have any insight into what Kraft saw? Because from what I remember, is that Belichick wasn't successful early on, right, as a head guy. I guess the reputation was that he was a Parcells guy, and I think people knew he was a smart guy. So was he just going on, this guy just has underachieved, sort of, and I think there's a hidden genius here? Did he have any idea I mean, nobody could predict the championships they won.
Yeah, so he later told a confidant, he was like, you know, Bill was an idiot savant, and I gave him this opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think that when Belichick was fired by the Browns, he landed in New England, he was under Parcells, and Parcells and Kraft were not getting along. That's well documented. And
right.
Belichick not only ended up, you know, I wouldn't say he was exactly a go-between, because it wasn't like he was a message carrier, but he could explain football to Kraft in ways that Kraft understood. And it's part of, you know, Bill's genius is that he's a great teacher.
Mm.
And he also understood the salary cap, and he had invented his own system for evaluating players and putting price tags on certain players in certain positions. And so you could always be flexible, whereas like every coach goes into the owner and is like, I'm one player away. I just need this guy. We need to sign this big splashy free agent. He sort of saw it again as interchangeable parts. His ideology was a lack of football ideology. And for instance, in 2001, the first year they won the Super Bowl together, New England, by and large, played a 3-4 defense.
Mm-hmm.
It was not because Belichick, throughout his entire career, was schooled in the 3-4 defense. It was because most of the league was playing that Tampa 2 defense, which was a 4-3, and so 3-4 players were available for cheap. And so he just saw an opportunity to stockpile players for not a lot of money and use them in that system. That's why he did it.
Wow.
Seth, it is amazing to think about the fact that Belichick and Brady were together for so long, for 20 years. I mean, that'll never happen, a coach and a player in any sport to be together that long. That just won't happen ever again. But when you think about the relationship between Brady and Belichick, I'm guessing it was very strong at one point, and they won the three Super Bowls early, but then they went 9 years without winning one. When did the friction start from what you gathered?
Yeah, and in the book, I write a lot about those 9 years, and I found those 9 years amazing because you had two really high achievers who were coming up just short of their goal, and how they sort of went back and evaluated their belief systems to get a fraction of a percentage better, I thought was really amazing and really kind of revealing of what made them great. But that's not the question that you asked. After they beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl, Brady and Bill had won their fifth together, and things just changed. The dynamic in the building just changed. Brady wanted to be known as more than just an employee and the Patriots quarterback. He really started pushing his TB12 business and came out with a book and promoted that book that fall. He participated in the Tom versus Time Facebook documentary, and the Patriots really didn't even know he was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of it all, you had a lot of, like, you know, key figures. Alex Guerrero, who is kind of a divisive force in the building between the training staff and the players. Belichick ends up banning him from the team plane and from the sideline. You have Jimmy Garoppolo, who Belichick is deeply invested in, refused to trade in the offseason. And finally, you know, the day before the trade deadline, ends up shipping him to San Francisco for really a deal, a second rounder. And then on top of it all, you had Brady wanting a contract that guaranteed him until he was 45 years old, which is his personal goal and his business goal, and the Patriots just wouldn't do it. They just refused to commit that long, and they really refused to commit that long until the day that he walked out the door. They just, as Robert Kraft told another owner at the Super Bowl when the Niners played the Chiefs, he just like, look, we want Tom, but not until he's 45 years old. And remember, after that 2017 season, they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles, and Brady skipped the entire offseason program, the voluntary program, the only starting quarterback in the NFL to do so. And frankly, he wanted his release, and Kraft initially refused to grant it.
So it was 2017 when that really started, that friction.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, fast forward a couple years, they've got six Super Bowls together. We're in August of 2019, and they're negotiating a contract again. And once again, Brady wants a deal until he's 45. The Patriots won't do it. He almost leaves training camp in protest because he's so frustrated. He ends up signing a one-year deal with an out to be a free agent, and 48 hours after he signed that deal, he and Giselle Bundchen put their house on the market.
Well, you could see why a team wouldn't want to give a guy a contract till he's 45. I mean, I understand that, but were Kraft and Belichick on the same page with that?
Yeah, they were. It was an organizational decision, and
right. You're
right. You know, we're dealing with really extreme circumstances here. This doesn't come up a lot,
right?
But
guys don't play till they're 45. They just don't
play well, you know.
Yeah, right.
But at the end of the day, Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick are the two humans on this earth who should have known better than to underestimate Tom Brady, and they did just that. And as a result, you guys all saw it a couple weeks ago, Brady shows up in Foxborough quarterbacking the defending Super Bowl champions, and he's not wearing a Patriots jersey.
Yeah.
I'm always intrigued by, and I know it's kind of covered ground, but just by Belichick's act, you know, at the podium with the public and the media, mm-hmm. the media in particular, I guess, is really what it's like. What is he truly like behind the scenes? Does he have a gregarious personality?
Can you have a beer with him and have a good time?
I see him out on the boat with his girlfriend on these Instagram pictures and stuff. He seems to have friends. I know he's big in the lacrosse community. He's a friend of that community. How normal is this guy when he's not putting on that act?
I don't think it's an act. I think that, you know, there's that famous Bob, you know, he's one of these people, he has multiple personalities like we all do. There's that famous Bob Dylan line where he was in a movie and the director, he asked the director, like, what do you want me to be? And the director was like, well, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. And Bob Dylan was like, well, which one?
Right.
And, like, it's similar with Bill. I mean, when he's behind the podium, he is speaking to his team. He is reinforcing his message. But he's pretty sour behind closed doors, too, at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they lose a game, his misery takes on almost an atmospheric quality. I mean, it is a rough, rough place to be. And even it's a rough place to be after a win. I mean, you know, whatever it is, you know, the way that he was schooled, his dad was a hard coach. He obviously learned a lot from Bill Parcells, who was a hard coach. And, you know, he learned a lot from, you know, watching and reading about Paul Brown and watching Bill Walsh. And those were some of the coldest decision makers in NFL history. And he took that to the nth degree, to the point where, you know, he is someone completely different when you're not an employee for him. But, you know, yes, he's a person who you can have a beer with or he can be funny or whatever. But, you know, this is who he is. And, you know, while I don't think that he really wants to ever get into who pulled a hamstring at practice, I think that he has shown a lot of interest over the years in, you know, revealing the staggering depth of knowledge and, you know, football, you know, material that he's accumulated over the years and eager to kind of share, you know, what all of this hard work and grinding, you know, has added up to.
Mm. Does he hold grudges the way that we think he does? Like, you know,
I asked a friend about that. He was like, no, he doesn't hold grudges. He holds deaths.
Hmm.
Because with a grudge, you can reconcile. And with a death, there's no chance. And
so who's on that list?
But it looked like he reconciled with Parcells. I watched that special on NFL Network.
And it's interesting. I think that, like, you know, clearly Eric Mangini, you know, is one of those guys that, you know, he holds in death. And there's other people around the league, you know, but that Parcells documentary was interesting because everybody wants to know about his relationship with Brady. And I think that while these guys gone on each other's nerves, there is a real love there. And in the Parcells documentary, remember at the end, Ken Rogers, the director, asks all the people who know them if they think that the two Bills love each other. And some of them are like, nope. And the other ones are like, you know, Parcells probably loves Belichick, but Belichick probably doesn't love Parcells. It's just who he is. And then finally, Rogers asks the two Bills, and it's Belichick who first says, yeah, I do love Bill. And I think that it's the same with Tom. And, you know, when Belichick and Brady are inducted into the Hall of Fame, whenever that is, you know, they'll speak of each other in terms of love, and I think it'll be sincere because they know what they accomplished together, even if, you know, by and large, their personalities, you know, they're very different people in a lot of ways.
Hmm. What about that? I know we got to go, but just in 30 seconds, what about the Gronk factor? Was that just total burnout on Bill?
Yeah, I mean, he would cry before practice because he was so mentally broken down by the Patriots building, and he was physically broken down. And, you know, look at this life they have in Tampa. You know, it's like they all went from, like, Harvard Law to Florida State.
Yeah.
I could go into so much depth about that. I know we're running out of time, though. But it's like, yeah, the football experience they have in Tampa is just so different. I mean, Bruce Arians, for crying out loud, fixes cocktails after games for his assistant coaches. You know, it's a very different atmosphere.
Yeah great right. stuff.
All right, Seth, really appreciate the time. Best of luck with the book. It's Better to be Feared. And it comes out October 12th.
Came out yesterday.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Today's that's right. 13th. Yesterday was the 12th. You're right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, yep. I appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Seth.
Kind of forgot what day it was.
Definitely did.
Easy to do. Easy for that to happen.
Yeah. That's just interesting stuff. I mean, real quick, before we get a break, just thinking about if Brady would have stayed with New England, and obviously you can't predict the future, but if he stays with New England instead of going to Tampa, he obviously had a much better, you know, core of offensive weapons in Tampa. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing based on what happened with the Patriots last year with all those guys opting out, he wouldn't have won a Super Bowl there.
No. Mm-hmm.
And he probably wouldn't win one this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to go through Kansas City and the Chargers and some other really good Buffalo. So, man, it really, I mean, he could win another one with Tampa.
Sure.
Smelling like roses.
Can you imagine going to Tampa and, you know, he wanted that long contract extension.
And you know that's fueling Bill.
Yeah, and he could go and win two in Tampa.
So Bill's going to have to coach another 10 years.
Yeah, but Bill's got a quarterback with a pea shooter, according to
Rex Ryan.
And you know
what? All that free agent money they spent, it's not really working out through the first five games. It's just not.
Yeah, it worked out for Brady, didn't it?
Yeah, certainly has, thus far.
But Rex Ryan said that Mac Jones has a pea shooter. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't like his arm?
Correct.
Apparently not.
I feel like he has an average arm.
Yeah, I think it's average.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit above, but.
Yeah. I don't think it's a. I mean, I think we got a pea shooter arm here. I mean, I like him, but I mean, that's not. I mean, I don't think Mac Jones has a pea shooter, but okay.
All right. We got Mike Jones coming up in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about the Washington football team. And coming up next, we're going to dive into their draft pick. Did they make the right choice this year? That's next here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. I just put up the Junkies poll today regarding our next topic here, which is about Jamin Davis. And it comes down to three choices. Did they make the right pick? Did they botch it? Or is it still way too early to tell?
Well, here's
way,
all I
way
know.
Too early.
It's too
way.
Early. The kid could turn into a superstar.
Poll brought to you by Van Meter Homes, by the way.
Not ruling that out. And I would even remind people that I believe Morgan Moses' first year. Not Morgan. Where was Morgan selected?
Third or fourth round, I want to say. You know, I can double check that.
Wasn't like a seventh rounder, but no. He was you know, upper half of the draft, I feel like. I remember his first year was catastrophic. That he had a few games where he got limited opportunity, and he looked like an enormous bust.
He was a third rounder.
And then Morgan came in here, and, you know, Morgan was pretty darn good for however many years.
Solid
pretty,
starter.
Very, very solid. You'd kill for that.
Played through a lot of injuries. Yes, just a warrior type.
A warrior, yeah. Right? Now, he would jump off sides, and, you know, he had his moments, penalties. But for the most part, that guy was one of the leaders of the offensive lines. So he ended up having a nice run. If Jamin has a run like that, it's going to be it'll be fine. But I know that as soon as we started, one of the things I was most excited to see was this first round draft pick. Because like everybody else, I didn't know this kid from college. But when I saw those highlights and the interceptions and, you know, making plays, you know, in space, I was like, wow, this guy might be. And then they show him at the combine. And the guy's got like a 40-inch vertical, and he's running a 4.4, and, you know, he's got all the size. It just, you know, benching. He's checking all the boxes. The only thing that was a little bit of a cautionary tale is everybody said, well, he hadn't played that much. He's inexperienced. But you see all that talent, and you're just like, wow. So I wanted to see this kid. And I didn't see much of the preseason, but you keep always saying, oh, it's preseason. Doesn't matter. Means nothing. And then the first week I noticed. I'm telling you, I was the first one on this. Like, where is this? I'm not seeing any plays. First week he played 45 snaps. I didn't think he made too many plays. I can't remember how many tackles, maybe two, something like that. And again, tackle's not the be-all, end-all indicator, but he wasn't flashing to me. Second week, he dropped, played 27 snaps. Third week, he played 41. Week four, now people are starting to catch on here. He only played 33. Last week, he played 13 snaps. 13 snaps. They're hiding their first-round draft pick. Here we are in the first third of the season. They're hiding
it. The only counter I'd say is, and Coach Rivera said this yesterday, they went with a five-man front. They wanted to focus on Kamara.
I thought it was a young team. I thought they were building
young players. I'm not saying it's consistent. I'm not saying the message is consistent. I'm just telling you that they went with the four guys that we know, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Allen, and Payne. And they added Ioannidis, and they went with five bigs. It's what they did.
So what I've heard through the grapevine is that the word on the street is that the college game, the pro game are so different. He's struggling with the spacing, the way that the NFL game is, finding the holes, processing the information. It's just, you know, he's just struggling.
Yeah.
The bottom line. And to me, your snap count is at the end of the day, the be-all, end-all for how much trust and faith the coaching staff has in you.
13's
a
low
number.
You're
either on the field or you're not on the field.
It's a low number.
They just lost their starting linebacker. He was the guy everybody said leading up was going to have to step up, including Coach Rivera on this show. I wish I had told you, Valdez. It's my bad. I should have told you to pull up when we had him 2 weeks ago. We asked him what's going to happen, and he talked about, well, guys like Jamin Davis are going to get their opportunity. Guys like Kalika Hudson or whatever are going to get their. And it turns out they didn't play those guys very much at all. Well, they're hiding their first round draft pick.
Maybe it was just a one game weirdness. The game flow wasn't good for him. I can't explain why he only played 13 plays. But I just.
Do you know when he played the most snaps, Cakes?
I can't punt him away after five games.
Not punting him away.
He's still trying.
Well,
but
the only one for. Okay. First of all, I got to give credit. I think this was our guy, Cody, came up with this stat. Only one first-round draft pick that's played in all five games this season has played a lower percentage of snaps than Jamin Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Only one. I got a list here.
That's a low number.
Of the top, the highest-rated rookies this year, according to Pro Football Focus. And again, I have my own issues with their ratings, but I love them because it gives you a starting point.
Okay. I'm guessing Jamar Chase is up there. Micah Parsons has to be up there.
You know who's number two? Who I believe who? I thought that they might select.
Who's that?
And who a lot of mocks had them selecting.
Oh, number the kid two. Out of Notre Dame, the second round pick.
Yes. He's the second round. Highest rated. So in other words, they could have picked him, I think, twice. They could have picked him twice in the first round.
I feel
and
like
the
he had
round.
Some sort of a health issue question.
They had a heart issue, like a heart scare, like. During the
right, but I think they
pre-draft.
Issued a report before the draft that said it was clear. The number one issue, I think it was, is they thought he was a little undersized.
Yeah.
But he's making it work.
I'm not saying that you're wrong about anything you're saying about the snap counts and that they're hiding it, but it's five games.
I'm not saying he can't turn it around.
I mean, you got to give him at least the full year and then into the second. If he's not making plays midway through the second, okay, maybe you can call him a bust.
I'm not saying cut him. I'm not saying he's going to be terrible. But I'm leaning more towards terrible than I am towards great.
Well, the question I would ask is when you're drafting 19, okay, you can always trade up and get a guy, but they obviously.
I would have drafted JOK. That's what I'm saying.
So you would have drafted the kid in second round.
In the first round. Right. A lot of mocks had him in the first round.
That's the only guy you would take.
Not necessarily. I mean, there are a lot of other guys. I mean, maybe I would look at a different position. To me.
I'm just saying, because
obvious.
That was definitely a position of need. We
to me,
knew
it was
that.
Obvious. I said it, you know, again, I'm a know-nothing, and I said they have to get a linebacker. I mean,
it was a position of need, no doubt.
I mean, maybe you could make an argument for a receiver. And I think, where was Kadarius Toney drafted?
Right after the Washington.
That wouldn't have been a bad pick.
Well, if he keeps playing like he did against Dallas.
You wouldn't have said that in the preseason when he cares more about his rap career than the team.
Once he got his opportunity, he killed it. He's killed it the last 2 weeks.
He has killed it, yes.
Yeah. So
this was part of my problem with EB hammering so much last year that they had to make the playoffs because it was all about experience, and we all knew they were going to get blowed out in the first round.
Right.
Right? And
winning culture. I'm big on winning culture.
And how's the culture?
Yeah,
right,
culture doesn't seem that much different.
You got the coach pounding the table in radio interviews, yeah, saying to lower expectations. And it would have given you, you can say JOK is fine, but it would have given you more opportunity to draft guys with higher talent, like Micah Parsons or Justin Fields or Rashawn Slater, the higher you up are in the draft. More chance for success.
Right, but then you just make that argument every year. If you're not going to win it all, just lose. And I don't like that. I don't think you can do that. I don't think winning organizations do that. I think you have to just draft better. You have to find the JOKs. You have to find them. You have to have excellent personnel guys. You have to make good draft picks. Losing organizations tank.
I would just say this. JOK wasn't a top 10 pick. I'm not saying he's a bad player. He wasn't a top 10 pick.
In the mocks, he was where the Redskins were
selected. True, but no one selected him in the first round.
This is a losing organization.
They botched it.
They're not even tanking.
Okay,
they're
but you
losing.
Can't predict that. I mean, you take who you think is the best player at that position.
I understand. They botched it.
Let's wait and see. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying they botched it. They could have selected JOK in that 19th pick, and nobody would have batted an eye. Nobody would have said, that's a reach. Everyone would have said, great pick.
But there's also a chance JOK, if he comes here in a different situation, different schemes, different coaches.
That's possible.
He could have been a boss, too.
That's possible, but my guess is he's a lot more experienced.
I think Davis is going to figure it out, and he has such a good skill set that when he does figure out, he is going to make an impact. Now, whether that's this weekend or 4 weeks from now, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, and I'm sure everybody wanted it to happen from week one, but I mean, this is an incredibly raw player that you're dealing with.
Right.
What, he played
12
games,
they're banking on.
12 games at Kentucky?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what they're banking on.
Raw,
and that's what they said, that he's raw,
and
they knew it, and they're banking that they can coach him up. But sometimes there are guys that are just workout warriors.
Hey, you know what?
He puts it all together by the time that the Washington starts facing the NFC East opponents.
Late in the meet of the schedule.
How's he going to do it? He's on track to play about six snaps this week.
I don't know how he's going to do it, but at some point, from the coaching, from Rivera and Del Rio, I mean, those guys are career linebackers. They should be able to put him in the right position.
I'm guessing he's
going to
play more than 13 snaps.
Sometimes guys are just lost in the sauce, as Ray Smith used to say, right?
Yep. Yeah, old Smitty.
Used to say, lost in the sauce?
Yeah.
I have a tendency to think he's lost in the sauce.
It should be expected for him to be a little bit lost 5 weeks into his rookie campaign.
He probably but he can learn.
Sure.
Unless he's a complete dope.
Unless his football IQ is zero.
Right,
I'm
right.
thinking it might be. I've heard he's a smart kid, and I think he's a military background, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he's not an intelligent person. But some people, their game IQ is different than their off-field IQ, right? So I'm not saying he's a dumb person, but I'm saying he might not, he doesn't have the experience.
It's just way too early to judge it.
He's not a ball hawk.
He's not having a good year, no doubt.
He's not. You know who's a better ball hawk? Cole Holcomb's a better ball hawk, and he's way less talented.
Although Jamin Davis is rated higher via PFF than Cole Holcomb. He's also rated higher than Roquan
Smith.
Going
forward, you'd rather
have
Jamin
Davis.
Also
rated higher than Leighton Vander Esch. Like, when he's on the field, I think that it's a little unfair this week. I think this week, I bet you'll be on the field a lot more because they're not going to be worried about the running back so much with Kansas City. Like, I doubt they're going to go five defensive linemen against KC.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't expect that. I'd expect them to have, more fast guys on the field.
Right.
The bigger point is the last we went through this with Washington in the first round, or their first pick anyway. Some years they had their first pick in the second round. But they drafted mostly defensive guys in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
They just did. I mean, they took Sheriff, obviously. They took RG3. But they have... And it's been different coaches. It's been different people. But they've taken a lot of defensive players in those first rounds instead of the offensive players.
And I've spoken of that many times, that in an era where offense has never been more important. It's never been more important to be able to put up 30-plus points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you keep drafting, using your draft capital high for defensive players? You're swimming upstream here. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
I think you're generally
kind of with
put
you
it this
that.
Way, Jason. It's unfair because it's... Again, it's five games in, and I acknowledge those points. It is unfair, but I'm just being a talk show host, and I'm trying to be entertaining, and I'm trying to bring up a point that I think five games in, he's been less than desirable.
Well, you've seen no flashes.
No one's going to disagree with you there.
Because I felt that way about Haskins after five games.
Right. It's a small sample size, and he can turn into a player. I'm not saying that he can't. But let's put it this way. Their last two first-round draft picks, if they were honest and you gave them truth serum, they would have picked different players. They would have taken Justin Herbert.
Well,
and they would have taken about 15 other guys other than Jamin right now. Five games in, if you gave them truth serum, there's no chance they're making the same pick. I maintain that. Now, there's no way of knowing that unless we have a beer with them and get them drunk.
Well, obviously, the Herbert thing, they would have taken
Herbert.
Of
course. Yeah. Every team would have.
Yes.
You know what? The Bengals would have, too.
Right.
Probably.
I mean, Joe Burrow's good. He's not Justin Herbert.
Our last two draft picks, if you gave them truth serum, they wish they didn't draft
him. Herbert's so good, I was watching, flipping the channels around on ESPN, and they were doing a debate. Who would you draft now, Herbert or Patrick Mahomes, like for your future?
And here's
how good Herbert is.
Here's the most,
and one of the experts went with Herbert.
The most galling thing about not picking Herbert is part of the rationale for it was, well, we have Haskins. We spent this first round pick on Trashkins, and we have to try to develop him.
Yes.
Which, again, goes back to bad ownership. That's an owner pick.
Right.
Clearly made by Dan Snyder.
But remember how excited people were. Every fan was excited. They were pumped for Chase Young at 2.
Absolutely. But you could check my timeline, and at the moment he was drafted, I said, and I was talking about Tua.
Tua, I know, because they needed a quarterback.
Tua turns into Russell Wilson, who they were comparing him to. It's a miss, and it has no impact on what kind of player Chase is.
All right, coming up next, we'll go around the league with the Junkies Blitz. Got Mike Jones from USA Today joining us at 9 o'clock as we talk more Washington football team here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now for the Junkies Blitz, presented by Offenbachers. Visit Offenbachers in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture that's in stock and ready for delivery to your backyard.
I have to say, for the record, I'm a little bit offended that I didn't stir any interest on my hot takery that if Washington had two, they could do over their last two picks, and you gave them truth serum, they would admit that they would take two different players.
Was your segment a bust?
No, I thought it was a good segment, but I'm surprised that it didn't rankle anyone. Maybe it's just because it's so on point that no, you know what I mean?
People are already checking out, which is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Not a good thing for us and for our business. Not a good thing.
You got a lot of people weighing in on social media. Okay. By the way, the votes, 46% say yes, they drafted the wrong guy.
46.
49% do say way too early to tell. And
that's
there's
true.
5% who are defending him saying no.
Yeah, it's very small.
Only 5% said
5%
no.
5%. The question is,
so Cakes is in the
5%. Poll of the day brought to you by Van Meter Homes.
I'm in the 5%, yes.
You like the pick.
Did the team draft the wrong guy in Jamie Davis? 5%.
No, Cakes would have taken an offensive player. He would have taken Kadarius Toney.
Oh, I would have did 1,000 times out of 1,000.
Or Najee Harris or someone else like that.
Correct.
Right.
I would always pick offensive players, always default to them, and then I'd make do with my defense. Well, and I try to outscore everybody. That's my mantra. I'd probably get fired after a season.
It's not
and
a bad plan.
But that's what I'm going to do.
But with Chase, all I'm saying is, yes, you would have taken Herbert now if you could have if we could have predicted the future. But everyone was jacked for that pick.
I mean, for a while, though,
everyone was.
For a while, it's been you have to get your franchise quarterback or pick a game-wrecking defensive end with your top picks. I think more and more now, you're going to see kind of like running backs rarely, if ever, get drafted high anymore. I think you're going to start seeing like defensive ends, unless they're like once in every 30-year type player like Chase Young is supposed to be. Those guys are going to be drafted further and further down the board.
Just think if they would have traded up for Justin Fields. I'm just throwing that name out
there
because they needed a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And then they trade up. Okay. After five games, you'd probably say, I don't know. Why did we trade up to get Justin Fields?
Right.
But
very
it's a quarterback.
But my point is you have to give that kid 3 years. Yeah. And if 3 years he's still playing like he is now, then it's a bust. So that's the same thing I'm saying about those kids, Chase and Jamin.
Yeah, I don't think Chase is going to be a bust, by the way.
I mean, Chase was rookie of the year.
I know. Exactly.
I don't think Chase is going to be a bust. I think Chase is going to be a very good player. He's not going to be who I thought, though. I thought he was going to be J.J. Watt in his prime for 5 years.
There was a lot of ticket punching to the Hall of Fame after one season.
So I'm sorry for saying that. And also, Jason, I would say if Tua didn't get hurt, so I think the Tua injury made it a no-brainer to take Chase. And frankly, I keep saying this. No one thought Justin Herbert was going to be who Justin Herbert was.
Not this early.
No, they didn't. Because if people thought he was going to be Justin Herbert, they would have taken him one or two.
Did they think he was going to hit so quickly? No. But did they see the talent to draft him at 6?
That's great.
Which is very high.
Yes, Cakes. But if they thought he was going to be who he was, you had 10 teams moving up to get him. You didn't have that. The Chargers get credit for picking him. 100%.
Give them kudos.
I'm just saying, if people thought he was this good, you would have had teams moving up like they did for RG3 and Andrew Luck.
So you're saying
and all that.
If Tua doesn't get hurt in college, he would have gone
potentially
higher?
It was all tank for Tua for 3 years. It was tank for Tua.
Yeah,
tank
I get that, but NFL teams weren't saying that. That's what the media was saying that. Who knows what NFL teams thought about him.
That's fair, but I think these guys get their info from the NFL, too.
He was smaller. He wasn't as mobile.
I agree.
You know, he didn't have the arm that those other kids had.
I mean, the Dolphins are already looking to upgrade from him.
They're already looking
to trade for Deshaun Watson.
I think he's a bust. I think Tua's a bust.
Still kind of early.
I'm not saying drafting Tua would have been a disaster.
Right.
But I don't want to recreate history and say that Washington would have had the wherewithal to draft Justin Herbert. I don't think they would have. I think if they went quarterback, they would have drafted Tua. Because I don't think the league was as high on Herbert as the Chargers were. Because there was I'll never know that, I just remember that time.
By the way, it's going to be maddening, too, in 2022, that if the quarterback isn't there that they need at wherever they're going to pick, if they pick another defensive player in the first round. It will put me on the tallest monkey stilts.
I think that
they'll... They might need one. You can't win with a 31st ranked defense.
I mean, I'm...
Well, if they're 31...
If they're picking 10, and they pick another linebacker, monkey stilts. You need...
I don't know.
You need offensive skill up and down your roster. And you know what? You took a swing with Curtis Samuel. Year one's looking like a bust. So you know what? You take another bite at the apple.
But he could be really good next year.
He could be, and hopefully he is. But you know what?
I think if they have a bad year, which they will.
You layer talent with Curtis Samuel. You don't just rely on, well, Terry McLaurin's a stud, and Curtis Samuel's going to be there from week one. Because this year is showing that he's not there.
I think if they have a bad year, which they will, and they win six or seven games, and the quarterback position's obviously a huge issue, they're going to overdraft a quarterback.
Part of me wants them to draft another. Take another defensive tackle. See where it gets you.
Take a defensive tackle
at 9 overall. See what happens.
But you understand that they're in this quagmire.
I understand.
Because if this season ends and they're 31st in defense, you're going to ignore that?
Yes. Because your plan is garbage.
It's not working. Well, you can go out and get guys on the free agent market to help your defense.
You can't do that at quarterback.
All you're doing
is blowing first-round picks on defensive linemen. And what has it gotten you?
Yeah.
It's gotten you the 31st-ranked defense. The plan is flawed and it's failing. It's a fail so far.
Well, and if it fails next year, you can say bye-bye to the
lining up
staff.
All these defensive first-round picks, it's a failure.
Well, they could have drafted Jalen Hurts, right? I'm not saying he was highly ranked, but Jalen Hurts last year.
I haven't been high on him, but he's putting up big numbers.
He's going to be taking on Tom Brady tomorrow, just to fill you in on the Thursday night matchup. Tom Brady nursing a sore right thumb. That's never good for quarterbacks. He says he's going to be fine. It is on his throwing hand.
From slinging it, throwing all those touchdowns.
15
Hurts.
Jalen Hurts coming off kind of an up-and-down game. He had an overthrow in the third quarter. He had an interception. But then he bounced back and led him on a comeback win. So it will be interesting to see Tom Brady take on Jalen Hurts.
Your number here is Thursday Night Football. Tampa's laying 7 on the road. Over-under is 52 and a hook.
Yeah, 7, correct. He's got, 7 touchdown passes? He's got 7 rushing. 7 touchdown passes, correct. I don't know what his rushing numbers are.
They're high.
Well, I know he's got a bunch of yards. He's got 2 or 3 rushing touchdowns, something like that?
I'm pulling up his numbers right now.
Yeah. He's got 256 yards rushing and 3 rushing touchdowns.
There you go. All right, so that's your Thursday night matchup. Coming up next, Mike Jones, NFL columnist for USA Today, joins us here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.